Yes, hello and welcome to another Tech Plus on Youth Day. Today, the 16th of June, but we're not taking part in that. We're no longer considered youth, Kane. Yes, but we're working today. But you know what's nice about working today is you don't mind because you love what you do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, have a passion for it. And we've had a very eventful week in tech, actually, right?
Oof, yes.
Lots to discuss.
Where do we even begin?
Well, I think we have to give poor old Internet Explorer
shame, a nice
moment in the sun.
Yeah, do you think we should have a minute of silence?
Not quite. I mean, I feel a ways about Internet Explorer. This is probably the most upkept, you know, tool that has the least performance that I think that I've ever seen. I mean, Internet Explorer is renowned. There's the meme culture that's behind it, you know, that's all making the memes about Internet Explorer. No, it lived a hard life and it continued for 26 long years.
So there's this meme. You saw the meme with yes. The Grim Reaper. So the Grim Reaper comes to the E of Internet Explorer and says, "It's time to go. Let's go." And then he starts walking away, the Grim Reaper. And then the Internet Explorer is not responding. And then the Grim Reaper is like, WTF. But, you know, that's so true. Because remember all those plugins or your favorites? Sometimes you would have so many plugins and favorites that you would have this huge bar at the top of your screen and then a small piece where you can actually see the website. It was just I'm sorry to say that, but as somebody said, it was just a crappy browser. It was the best downloader of other browsers, of Google Chrome or so. If you get a new computer and you've got nothing on it.
But I remember there was a joke going around, like, Internet Explorer is best used to download Chrome.
Exactly. And it's true. I did that once, actually. There was no browser on the computer, so I downloaded Chrome via Internet Explorer.
I think most people have probably done that, and I don't think Internet Explorer is very used. And the crazy thing is, and it's so annoying, because prior to Microsoft Edge, which is the new Internet Explorer, and we'll talk about that in a second, Microsoft Edge is set as like your default browser for your computer. So maybe you're using Outlook or you're using something, and you open up a web link and there you go, all the way off to Microsoft Edge, you know, with none of your passwords on or no user profile
exactly.
or anything, and you're lost. But I'm surprised they continued for 27 years. I mean,
yeah, it was longer than expected. I thought it was redundant years ago.
I made a joke to my friend because they've been trying to punt Internet Explorer for so long,
yeah,
and trying to get that browser market share for so long, that I don't actually feel bad for them giving up at year 27, because my argument is you've been trying to build build Internet Explorer into a success for longer than I've lived.
Yeah.
Like, year five should have come around. You say, okay, you know, this is enough now. We're done. You know.
But why do you think the browser was so weak? Do you think it's just the way it was designed? Could it not handle the websites it was visiting as time went by? It couldn't keep up, technically?
Sure. So in Microsoft defense, they always called Internet Explorer like a compatibility solution.
Mm.
So something that could work on very old laptops laptops that just couldn't handle it. And that was kind of their target market. And then they moved over to Microsoft Edge, which is like their Chrome competitor almost. But the problem really with it is you still have Chrome, you still have Firefox, you still have Brave, you still have all these different browser options that if you're trying to punt like Microsoft Edge, it has to have, it's in the name, an edge. It has no edge. It's just a browser. And I think if they were to target a niche, they could potentially do better, like an ultra-secure browser or something that completely disconnects what you do on the internet with what is recorded on the operating system. Like, you could tackle many different angles that would potentially garner someone's interest. But right now, everybody knows Microsoft Edge is like the worst performing browser, and that has just sat for so long. So cheers, Internet Explorer, you know?
Wow, it was our first, all of us, it was our first, and that's it now. What are you using nowadays? What is your browser of choice? Or are you one of those guys who have a few?
Well, I do have a few, but it kind of all turns back to Chrome. A lot of websites and things are built for Chrome before they're built for something like Firefox, which is open source. So a lot of the work that I do in marketing and web development and things like that, it all comes down to using Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
But a preference of mine would be something like Firefox, just because it's very easy to use. It's quick, it's snappy. And then, you know, if earning, you know, not seeing ads, you could use something like Brave. Brave replaces the ads that Google would send you with their own ads and pays you to see those ads.
Oh, nice.
So there's
Brave. Is that the browser's name?
Brave browser.
I've never seen it. I know about Opera Mini and those things.
Yeah, no, that's...
Is Opera Mini still going?
Yeah. It's got Opera. There's Opera is a very good browser. A lot of my friends use like a more you can really create. It's for the advanced user. They can really use it.
Well, on the phone it was Opera Mini, and then on the computer it's called Opera. Another rest in peace we have to fit in this week is Kalula.com, the airline. Finally, Comair filed for liquidation this week. So that means you'll never ever see a Kalula plane in the air again.
Or an ad on your TV.
All ad, oh man, yeah, I missed those. They had some good ads.
Best ads, worst business, apparently.
Yeah. That slogan and everything that they had was brilliant. Well done to whoever did their ads. And I don't know if you saw, but also on their planes at one stage they had writing. So then there would be like sign writing on the plane, and then below the pilot's window it would say the big cheese or something. You know, nice, creative, and also in their in-flight, you know, that thing that they do before you take off, the safety thing. They had a very different one, a unique one. I saw a video once of them doing that, a funny one. It would make people relax and laugh a bit about it, well, if the plane went down.
Very hard industry to compete in, planes.
Yeah, but I'm sad because thousands of people working for Kalula and British Airways in South Africa are now without jobs.
Yeah, I know.
They're not even getting the pay for the last month or two that they actually worked.
Because they filed for liquidation.
There's absolutely no money.
That is unbelievable.
And
it's
I know
crazy.
People who booked tickets, because Kalula had a special just before they finally closed. They had a special on tickets. And I know a few people who, they're not going to get that money back now.
No. That's crazy.
So that's very, very sad. Hopefully British Airways will find somebody else to collaborate with here in South Africa so they can keep flying here.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. They've got some problems of their own in the UK right now, staff shortages and stuff. So
I think if FlySafair had the branding,
yeah,
and or if Kalula had the business model of FlySafair, you know, cheap flights, they would have done much better.
Yeah, you know. Is Mango still flying?
Mango, I think so. Don't quote me on that.
Cool.
Talking of online software like Internet Explorer, Photoshop or Adobe plans to make Photoshop on the web free to anyone. And is currently testing what they call a freemium version of this.
Freemium, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, at the moment in Canada. And I think the technology itself is very, very cool. You know, Photoshop has helped a lot of people not only get jobs and earn money, but create next level designs and really interesting ways of making images that are worth 1,000 words, right? So Adobe has now started testing this free to use version of Photoshop on the web and plans to open the service up to everyone as a way to introduce more users to the app. Now, of course, why pay for premium Photoshop if you can just use it on the web for free?
Yeah.
But they will be, you know, they're releasing what on their freemium what they call their core services. Something that you could use Photoshop for its core purposes, but for some of the additional tools and features, there's going to be a pay gate, right? Where you have to pay in order to access the more higher level kind of stuff. But it is great. And someone showed me a picture the other day, you know, where they showed all the Adobe software, Photoshop, Premiere Pro, which is for video editing, like Audition, which is for voice-overing, After Effects, which is like for special effects, and all that sort of stuff. And then they showed the free alternatives like GIMP, you know, and all these online tools that you can use for free. And I always thought it was quite cool because Adobe has an entire integrated suite of software, much like Google has Gmail and Google Apps and Google Sheets. Adobe also has a suite of software that works in between each other and across and is cross-compatible. So it'll be really cool to see a Photoshop come out online. But what I'm really excited for is when the years have gone by and further development is then you have After Effects, Premiere Pro, Audition, all web-based apps that you can access as easily as you access Google Docs. And you can design and you can work from...
That's nice.
Because the minute you can do it on the web, sometimes you don't need a very powerful PC. When you're working with the software on your PC,
true,
you're doing it. Sometimes that can be
like
handled
Canva
by servers. Exactly. So it's a great way to be able to level up how people can work and what the minimum requirement is for someone to actually get into the industry. I love this sort of stuff. So I thought that was great to see. And I'm excited to potentially try it out and see how it goes.
Do you use Photoshop, the actual software?
So often.
So you use it?
Really often, whether it's web development or video editing or advertising assets, or there's such an array of things you can do on it. That is very usable to someone who's in like my kind of position. In other news, Adidas is suing Nike. There's some what? Turmoil. Yeah, Adidas is suing Nike over its apps and like sneaker technology. And I thought this was very, very interesting, because this is like really two big brands, you know, going against each other, and it's over the misuse of some of their patents. So they have patents for apps, and they have patents for like sneaker technology. Some of that sneaker technology is like heel sensors, so it'll sense your heel and how much pressure is there, and it will adjust the resistance in the sole of the shoe according to what the right amount is. So that's an example of this kind of patented technology. And then you have the apps, the things that have like audio listening, so they can listen into your workout and tell you things about your workout. You know, they can monitor your steps and this kind of technology. So Nike, Adidas is basically claiming that Nike has stolen and violated at least 9 of its tech patents.
Yo.
And the thing is, they've sued some other apps like Under Armour in 2014. Adidas sued them and eventually settled. And Under Armour agreed to pay Adidas a licensing fee to use some of that technology. And there's a number of other apps that also use and break these patents. But Adidas obviously just saying, well, we don't care about the small people. Let's go over Nike. So they're going to sue them over like damages and financial loss and things like that for them using their patents. But it's just such a crazy game, this patent game, you know, because some of it's like fitness app trackers. Like, there's many ways to build Rome, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that data is being taken from a shoe and provided to a cell phone, if you patent that, you're locking so many entrepreneurs out of entering the market or being creative or innovative. It's quite alarming.
Yeah.
And you see it listed here quite clearly. You know, Under Armour, I'm sure, didn't start out to try and steal Adidas tech. They just built an app that worked really well and gets sued by Adidas. And it happens more often than we think. So that patent logic is really crazy, and it's a hard battle to fight.
Definitely. Did you hear about DSTV's new lifeline?
It's another raft.
Yes.
They have lots of rafts. Most of them have sank now.
Yes, okay, well, one of them is they obviously, it looks like they're turning back that decision that they made about, you know, the simultaneous streaming that they said, you know, just no, just one person at a time.
Yes.
It looks like they're going back on that decision and saying, okay, we give in, we'll allow two streams or so at the same time, but it's not official yet.
You know, looking at that. This, can I say, so this is the craziest thing that I think about DSTV and Netflix and Apple and all this sort of stuff, right? You hear like Netflix says, oh, we're losing subscribers, we've lost 200,000, and we think one of the reasons is password sharing. So we're going to implement like stricter password sharing stuff. And then Apple says, oh, you know, Netflix, that's a great idea. We're going to implement anti-password sharing stuff as well. And then DSTV is like, you know, that looks great. That's a great idea. I'm going to implement that as well. And no one sits up and says, you know, guys, we're going to make sure that anybody can share this password with anyone and they can watch. That's going to be our selling point. That's going to be our model. And we're going to make big marketing news about that. While everybody's turning off password sharing, we're keeping it on. I would have taken that marketing approach so long ago. But now DSTV decides to turn it off, gets lots of scrutiny about it, decides, okay, let's put it back on. Let's let two people do it. Like, embrace it. Make it your model. Make 10 people able to do it, or 5. Whatever the average size of a household is.
But that's not the lifeline, Kane.
I know. What's the lifeline?
The lifeline is introducing the new DSTV Streamer TV box.
Streamer? Is it, how do you spell that?
S-T, like stream with an A.
Streamer.
Yes.
The Streamer box. I love it.
Yes. So,
what does it do?
Okay, so it's a little flat black box. Okay, here's a photo for you.
Okay.
It looks alright, you know? It's almost like a, you know, those boxes you get, like the My Box for...
It looks like a smart TV
box. To make your TV
box,
a smart TV box, yeah. But it's only coming on the 30th of September, so there's still a bit of a delay. But I like the remote.
Oh, that's
the
cool.
The remote looks really next level. It
reminds me of the remote from Click. Remember that movie with Adam Sandler?
Yes, that's right. Yes, you're right. That's right. Okay, so if you aren't sure what the streamer will be, just think Apple TV or one of the Android-based TV boxes, of which there are plenty. And these boxes assemble all your media content in one easy place like YouTube, Netflix, and Prime Video. So the streamer will do this too. But there was a chip shortage or something, so that's why they've got that delay for it only coming in September.
So you plug it in, and you can basically go to YouTube or Netflix or
just
Apple
like a
TV
My
or
Box.
Disney Plus or whatever. And you don't have to plug a laptop into the TV. You just plug this in and you choose where you want to stream from and you stream from there. You know what I see that little device as? That's a great way to start paying a lot more for your streaming services, because now you have 10 choices. You're like, okay, got to activate my Amazon Prime. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to activate my Disney Plus.
But they're already doing that on their decoders. If your decoder has internet capability, now they're doing it for... Well, if you don't have that functionality...
Well, I praise them. As we said before, you know, you got to adapt. The world's changing. At least you've made an adapt... You've tried. You've tried to pivot into a smart TV solution.
With your own little box.
No, great on you. Good on you. Like, at least you're actually stepping outside of your comfort zone, because there's trouble afoot. I'm telling you right now. Look here. Listen to this.
But they have to have a... There's no price on it yet, but they're going to have to be good with the prices, because people aren't going to pay thousands for that box.
Yes. Are we going to a music break now?
Yes. What are you coming back
when
with?
We come back, we're going to take a look at what... This is where I am saying DStv is making the right decision, because Apple will now stream every Major League Soccer match for 10 years starting in 2023.
So that's already taking care of the DStv sport problem.
That's starting to hurt.
Well, the soccer.
It's getting... This is where it starts.
What if the rugby? Oh, yes.
Let's get into the music break.
Okay, here's Callum Scott. It's Callum Scott and Ibiza, or Ibiza, I'm not too sure about that. Felix Jahn also in the mix, and the Stick Men Project. That's funny.
The Stick Man. Stick Men.
Oh, Stick Men, yes.
Well, no, you said that.
Sorry,
I'm confirming.
Yes. Oh, gosh, I don't know what I said. But it's the Stick Men Project, yes. Yes, welcome back to Tech Plus. Hey, can we just welcome one of our regulars, Susan?
Hey, welcome back.
Hello, Susan.
Hello, hello. Welcome back.
So Apple will stream every Major League Soccer match for 10 years starting in 2023. Literally DStv's worst nightmare starting to come to fruition. Thank goodness it's not the rugby, because we would just be putting the nails in the coffin right now.
That's the do it squid.
Yeah. So Apple will offer streams of every Major League Soccer match from early 2023 through 2032 in the Apple TV app. The two organizations announced in a major deal revealed Tuesday, with some games may still air on linear TV networks, but this does give Apple the global exclusive on NFL Sunday Ticket style offering for the league as well, which is really, really cool to see. I was very excited to start seeing when sports would be able to be streamed from more traditional streaming sites. And you know, it's also pretty interesting. There's been a leak or a potential rumor that Netflix has put in a bid for the rights to Formula One.
Hey, but listen. And now, now Susan's really going to listen, because she's a huge F1 fan. And you know the news this week that the big boss of F1, he flew to South Africa. They're busy with negotiations to get F1 back in South Africa next year.
Amazing.
That's going to be so good. I think probably it's probably going to be in Joburg or whatever. So they're looking at the track there, seeing, you know, is it economically viable? Can it happen? Imagine, would you go and watch the Grand Prix, watch Lewis Hamilton here in South Africa?
For sure.
But I have a question. You know how they race in all the countries?
Yes.
How do they get those cars to the other countries? Because they're driving the same cars.
There's a way.
So do they fly those cars to the country? Because I know those
they
cars
have to.
Probably don't
they,
weigh
they
too
have
much.
To. They have to
or
fly
Or do they
them.
Ship them?
I think if it's over the ocean, if it's overseas, they have to. You know, you're not just going to drive through the ocean.
Well, maybe Susan can let me know how they get... Because she knows
them.
Everything
they
about
They will surely fly
F1.
Them. And especially because the F1 happens very often. So I'm sure they have like a very well-executed strategy there too.
Surely they don't take the cars apart, put them in boxes.
Someone's going to start a race with three wheels.
But listen, those cars fall apart anyway. I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago, was it Schumacher, I think, or one of the guys, his car actually split in two.
Yo.
When he crashed.
Yo, are you ready for the big ticket item? How much do you think Apple is paying?
For F1?
Yeah, per year.
Ooh,
and they're paying for 10 years.
It must be massive, but I'm usually off with these. I'm not good with these.
Take a guess.
It's swing and a miss. A couple of million.
$250 million per year.
Yeah.
That is so much money.
That's a massive sport.
Massive market. Soccer.
Yes. Yep.
Soccer is
huge.
That is a deal of a lifetime for Apple, and DSTV is going to stop sweating eventually.
Yo, so that could be the final straw, hey?
Well, you see, it takes
it's
one.
Already happening.
People who managing the sports licenses are nervous to move to streaming because they don't know if they could make more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got their secure deals.
You're
the
right.
The people start walking into that space and they're achieving in that space, ooh, DSTV better make another smart box.
You reckon this box is not going to help them enough?
Not if licenses start getting captured, because the licenses is a bidding war. It's a bidding war.
Yeah.
So if you're slowly getting squeezed every year for less and less money to compete in the bidding war, it's a matter of time.
Mm.
You're going to run out. So it's challenging.
But again, there's something that's really... We mentioned layoffs earlier, but that was here in South Africa. There's been a lot of layoffs this week in the tech world as well. You would know more about the Coinbase one, but I know that Tesla... Elon Musk said, hey, let's cut 10% of our staff. They've already been fired. 10% of the Tesla staff. Now, there's thousands working for Tesla, so I would imagine...
400 to 4,000, I'd say.
Woof.
For 10%.
Can you imagine how many people lost their jobs at Tesla? And the reason being is Elon Musk said he is seeing a big economic downfall coming soon. Don't know if he's referring to a recession, but he's saying that the economy is wonky. I mean, we all know that.
Being laid off and being fired, though, are two different things. So I'm sure there was a compensatory...
Yes, I meant
I know they weren't fired. But they definitely got compensated for that, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Because that's a PR nightmare.
And good money.
Good money. Like the rest of their 6 months or maybe even a year worth of their salary.
Yeah.
I'm sure they won't be that badly off. But if they are badly... off. We will hear about it soon enough.
Well, I wonder.
The Twitter war.
But I get nervous when people like Elon Musk, I mean, that guy is just one huge brain on two legs. I mean, I get nervous when somebody like him is doing something like that. You know, it's kind of a precursor to something bigger. But listen here, how would you like this TV concept? A reality show where the millionaire CEOs have to live off their lowest paid employee salary for a month. I saw that on social media today.
That is a good idea.
Wouldn't that be a good concept? Imagine Elon living on his lowest paid employee salary for a month.
I think that's a very good idea. I remember seeing a show similar to that once upon a time where
the boss of
a company goes into like the ground level of the company.
Yes, that was Undercover Boss
Something like that.
Mm.
That's always a very cool show.
I would love this concept. I'd like to see Elon living on...
Can you imagine trying to find a group of people that don't recognize Elon? World's hardest challenge.
Yes, but I would really like to see him living on minimum wage, you know? 2 minute noodles for lunch.
Full on like reality TV show, you know?
I would
the meltdown
watch
halfway through.
Exactly.
You know, the tears. Gotta get it all. Here's something interesting. So Russia and US are like on this weird back and forth, right? So US has targeted Russia with tech to evade censorship of Ukraine news. It's been going on for like a few months now. And the US government has pushed new increased funding into three technology companies since the start of the Ukraine conflict to help Russians sidestep censors and access Western media, according to five people familiar with the situation. It's mostly VPN-like tools to help Russians access global news from other locations. So it's not like virus tech. It's more like a solution-based alternative for someone to access all media sources. And I thought that was quite interesting, you know, pumping millions of dollars into that as a strategy. But in the same light as they're talking about that, Russia has turned around and fined Google $260,000 for breaching its data localization rules. Like in the middle of their approach on Ukraine, they decide, let's go for a $250,000 lawsuit for something like pretty small, like in consideration of how much money is on the table. It's just like a lot of weird action, you know. So Moscow's court fined Alphabet's Google 15 million rubles or $260,000 on Thursday for refusing to comply with Russia's law requiring technology companies to localize user data. And Russia has issued multiple fines to the US technology companies in recent years over a string of infringements with the company's increasingly strict online laws. So that's a little bit of backside into what's happening in the whole US silently against Russia debacle, the tech warfare. And the company behind PUBG shows off. Have you ever played PUBG?
No.
I'm sure a lot of people might not even know what it is.
No, I don't know what it is.
You know what Fortnite is?
No, I don't.
You don't know what Fortnite is?
Is it the game?
Yes.
Well, I don't know games.
So a lot of people that would know Fortnite.
I know Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. That's not
That's
Fortnite.
All I know.
I'm
Sorry.
Sure you could play Pac-Man.
And Zuma.
Fortnite.
There's this nice computer game called Zuma that I really like. Oh, I should play that again. Makes me relax. God, it's called Zuma. Sorry.
So Fortnite is like one of the most popular battle royale games, which is like 100 people jump into a map and fight it out till there's one man standing. Or a bunch of people jump into a map with teammates and the last team standing wins. And PUBG was actually one of the first game companies to develop this kind of game scenario. I think maybe there was one before it as well. But it was definitely one of the first companies to really make the battle royale game mode really, really famous and popular. And now that same company has showed off its hyper-realistic virtual human, which is created artificially, but it is exceptionally hyper-realistic. Take a look at the picture of this person. I mean, it would be very difficult to distinguish.
Looks like a real person.
Yeah, it's very difficult to distinguish if it's fake or not. Like, there are character traits that you can see that do say, you know, this isn't a real person, but it's very, very close. So Krafton is best known for games like PUBG, so that's the developer company, but it showed off something extremely different. It's a virtual human named Anna, which it says will help establish its Web3 ecosystem, and it was built using a game development engine called Unreal Engine, which itself has a tool specifically for realistic digital people. So what they plan to do on this is pretty rough. Like, we don't really know too much about it, but it sounds like its realistic virtual human will instead attempt to become something of a celebrity. They said, "We expect her to attract the interest and popularity of Gen Zs around the world," said the head of Krafton's creative center. And they also went on to say that Anna will release an original music track and a scope and expand her scope of activity as an influencer into various areas across entertainment and esports. This is a virtual influencer. Now, reading about this, I thought, that is so strange. Imagine following someone like you follow a normal person, but they're just a virtual person. And there's already people like that. That's the crazy thing. You can go on Twitter, there's virtual people like that are like artificially...
Well, I'm a fan of Siri.
Yeah, well...
Isn't that more or less the same, right?
Yeah, but it's like Siri has an Instagram profile.
Does she not have one?
I don't know.
No, but we don't know what Siri looks like. So she doesn't have a face or anything.
No, but this person has a face and an identity. And it's going to create Instagram content. It's going to create YouTube videos. It's going to create TikTok. It's pretty creepy.
The question is, who's behind it? Who's sitting behind it? And who's programming those messages? And programming those messages into our heads?
That's scary.
That's a bit scary,
10 years from now, those kind of digital influencers might produce content that's more funny, more interesting, and more engaging than
humans.
Real people. So all the humans are sitting watching fake people.
Competing with them.
Yeah.
With robots.
Who can create content 30 times faster than you.
Oh dear.
Ah.
Okay,
yeah.
now I'm officially worried. Yeah, but here's a joke for you. So the guy says to his iPhone, "Siri, I'm bleeding really bad. Can you call me an ambulance?" And then Siri responds, "Sure. From now on, I'll call you an ambulance."
Great stuff, Siri. So, the US has released some new driver assist crash data. And unfortunately for Tesla, most of the artificial intelligence driving crashes are Tesla vehicles.
Yep.
And it's funny because before we even get into this stat, it's really interesting how mainstream media can kind of twist the data.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll tell you that crashes for artificially driven cars has increased by X amount over the last 5 years. But also the number of automated vehicles on the road has increased dramatically over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use a number-based stat like saying 274 Teslas were in a crash, and there were five years ago, there might have been 50 that were on the road, and today there are 25,000 that are on the road. So it's a bit of a, it's not an exact accurate representation, but it's still something that we have to address, right? So, you know, automated cars are great, but it's not so great when people are crashing, and these technologies are actually supposed to be there to prevent crashes.
Yeah, and not burn forever and that kind of stuff.
No, and not make a right turn at a left, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, that thing can be how clever and have sense and stuff. It still can't, you know what they say when you're on the road, you have to think for other people.
Yes.
And that, I don't think that car can think for other people. Really, because stuff's going to happen. People are going to drive in front of you, and the car, how quickly is that car going to pick it up?
Well, the car will pick it up incredibly quickly. The reaction time of a vehicle will be much, much faster. But the problem is, imagine you're driving a car and your right eye stops working, you know? Or you suddenly lose the ability to hear around you.
Jeez,
like,
okay.
If the sensors fail,
yeah,
it could, and its failure isn't just turn off. Sometimes it's just mismeasuring. So there's a car there, but it says there's no car there. You know, now it's going to react quickly and say, hey, there's no car, I can turn quickly.
And then boom.
So it's a complicated balancing.
I always say technology, smart technology, is amazing when it works, yes. When that stuff goes wrong, man, oh man, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you got to have your wits about you.
You need to have a backup plan.
But there was quite a number of those crashes that were actually there because the driver decided not to have any control over the vehicle. Because like, a Tesla, you can take over, but they're doing this complete driverless thing. Like Elon wanted to come out with a car without a steering wheel.
Not for me.
Like, what are you going to do?
I need to have some control.
Wind your window down and
not
jump
getting
out,
that thing. It's almost like being kidnapped.
That's kidnapped by your own car. Siri, can you let me out? Sorry, we can't.
Oh, my word. Listen, just before we go to some music, did you know there was... you use Uber Foods?
Yes.
Is that the only
In Cape Town, I use it more.
Okay, but is that the only delivery service we've got here in our area?
No, other than actual businesses delivering.
Okay. Because there was an error, apparently, on Uber Foods this week. People wrote about it on Twitter, and they scored. Free KFC, I think it was on Tuesday. Something went wrong, and they only charged you the delivery fee, but you didn't actually pay for the food that came.
Ooh.
And then they realized it, and they took it off an hour or so later. But, well, some people scored free KFC.
Yo!
And they don't work for government.
I would have made an order. I would have had everything dunked, even the milkshake.
So there's a little technological error there that people could have used for their advantage. But anyway, what have you got for us when we come back?
Next, we're taking a look at something very interesting. We're looking at Elon Musk, who's trying to get out of his SEC settlement. And we've also got Bill Gates, who decided to weigh in on what he thinks about NFTs, and it's not pretty.
Oh, okay. Well, does Elon still want to buy Twitter? Is he still interested?
Yes.
It kind of seems that he's not interested anymore.
Well, he's getting access to that, what we call fire hose data.
Okay,
which is
so
like,
he still needs to look at that
and
then decide.
So the fire hose data is if you were to follow every single person on Twitter, what you would see.
Okay.
So he has access to that. So they obviously got a number of filters to do and looks
and then he's going to decide and say, is that price worth it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, here's Jonas Blue. It's Jonas Blue with Julian Perella and a song called Perfect Melody. Just joined us. Welcome back to Tech Plus. We are kind of wrapping it up now. We're in the later stage of the show, in case you just joined us. So we're just wrapping it up now. But here's something interesting. In the southern Swedish city of Malmö, authorities recently changed the voice of a dustbin from a man's to that of a sensual female, hoping it would be more soothing. So what's happening is the voice, it's a sensor thing. So whenever you go to the dustbin and you put something in, then it says thank you, or it says something funny. It used to be a guy's voice, but now it's a woman's voice, seductive and husky, and she says stuff like, ah, that was really good.
No, no.
And then the other one is, come back soon and do it again.
You'll make all the kids go flip and clean up litter, I'm telling you.
And then, thank you. That tasted good.
No! That should be bad.
So that's very creepy, actually. Okay, I would imagine it's in Sweden.
What if you take something out the dustbin?
So it's not English. I think it would still trigger the sentence. You would still say thank you.
Thank you. It's a big pleasure.
But anyway, it's done as an awareness campaign in the city to clean up the public spaces and actually discouraging littering and encouraging people to go to the bin because it just makes throwing out garbage more pleasant.
No, it's a hell of a creative idea. And I'll back it for its creativity. And it would definitely get a social media share, you best believe. So I back it because a big problem, especially in some of the places you see in Iceland, is you'll just go past a certain region and it's just filled with trash.
Yeah.
And you'll walk 20 meters and there's a bin. Empty,
exactly. But you know, I don't think you can try that here in South Africa because they'll just steal all the components that you that you placed in the bin for this thing to work. They'll steal the batteries or something.
They'll take the bin and just leave one of those little dustbins, you know, those baby boys or an ashtray there or something.
But yeah, I think that's quite interesting. Very creative.
That's super cool. That'll get social shares. Make
no
mistake.
Yeah, I hope it works for them, you know.
Let's monitor that. Maybe we can get a video of this sensual dustbin.
Yes, but but it's not English. It's in Sweden, so...
Oh!
Yeah, so I wonder what that sounds like.
My goodness.
Jupadu.
I think that
sounds French.
That's like French or Chinese. So here is Elon Musk wanting to get out of his SEC deal. So in 2018, he was sued essentially by the SEC and tuned by the SEC because they felt like he evaded some of the rules and regulations by telling the whole world that his company was going to go private.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that caused a lot of turmoil and things like that. And now he's trying to kind of go... And what happened was he got this lawsuit from the SEC. He was still building Tesla. He was very nervous. You know, he was very concerned about the future of his company. Tesla was still in its hatchling stages. You know, we're talking a few years ago. Teslas weren't all on the road. And he says he felt like he was under pressure to say yes, to agree and put his signature on that piece of paper to say he'll pay the fine. He felt like if he had said no, he put his company at risk and a lot of that sort of stuff. But now, obviously, a lot has evolved. He's not feeling like he's under the same amount of pressure. Tesla is quite an invincible machine at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it's really made a voice out there. And it's not just wheels on the ground. It's charging stations. It's infrastructure. These are all lifelines for a business. So now he feels like he's going to go back, and he is going back, and he's trying to create a countersuit to say, listen, you know, I don't want to do this. I didn't feel like it was my true freedom to make that decision. So I want to turn around on that decision and go back on it. Which is pretty hectic because, you know, if you sign a signature on a bond and, you know, 5 years later you go back and say, look, you know, I felt like I was under pressure to sign this.
Yep.
It's going to be a challenging fight.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, SEC versus Elon, this is the fight that keeps fighting.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to see what happens. So Alex Spiro, the lawyer of Musk, has filed with the court to take his case to the U.S. Court of Appeals in the hopes of a different decision. Elon has argued that he was coerced into settling with the SEC. So we're going to continue to follow this and see what happens. But hopefully, what would you want to happen? Would you want him to pay? Because it is kind of unfair that he can get... You just turn around on a decision where he claimed fault, he admitted guilt, now he's turning around later and kind of trying to counteract that. To be approved or not to be approved. Let us know on our WhatsApp line.
I'm wondering.
It's a very good question. And next up, Bill Gates has taken a look at NFTs and he said, nah, not for me. So take a look at this is what Bill Gates had to say about NFTs and things. And anyone who doesn't know NFTs, I'm sure you heard the word NFT before now.
From you.
Yeah, from me, or at least from the craze that happened a few months ago with the Bored Ape Yacht Club and a lot of these very popular NFTs. You also get games that use NFTs with in-game items, like a card game like Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh! instead of having a physical card, you have a digital card, and that digital card has real value because there's only a certain number of them, and because you play with them in the game, there's a reason to own them.
Yep.
And that's an NFT. So Bill Gates says NFTs are, and I quote, 100% based on greater fool theory. And he says tech billionaire Gates has dismissed NFTs as the financial concept that even overpriced assets can make money as long as you find an idiot to sell them to. That's what his logic is. And to an extent, it's true, you know, because a lot of people are just buying an MP, you know, like a JPEG image and saying, this is fantastic. This 8-bit art is definitely worth $250,000, you know, my Lamborghini or my 8-bit image. And some of these NFTs are really hectic as well. Like, there's some NFTs that if you buy them, you have no right to commercialize it and sell it, like, not back to a person, but like put it on a piece of clothing and sell the clothing for profit. So some of these NFTs that you buy, you don't even have ownership of. That being said, some NFTs you buy, you do, and you can make merchandise and you can sell it, and you can make a revenue with it. You can really coin it. So there's two sides to the coin. But he was speaking at an event on climate change hosted by TechCrunch, and he said he preferred investing in assets with tangible outputs, like farms or factories, or a company where they make products. And then he held no position in cryptocurrencies or NFTs. He said, I'm not involved in that. I'm not long or short in any of those things, suggesting that he was also suspicious of assets designed to avoid taxation and any sort of government rules. He says, obviously expensive digital images of monkeys are going to improve the world immensely. So well, I thought that was quite funny.
Interesting to hear his take on it.
Yeah, and it's always interesting hearing an old money opinion, because he very much came from before IoT, and a lot of the time people trying to understand this digital value concept is hard to grasp. But in the same fashion, you know, if you're buying an NFT that has value, like you're buying a card for your card game, or you're buying a license to Microsoft Windows, you're still selling something to someone who believes it's valuable. If no one believed Microsoft Windows was valuable and it didn't have a utility, no one would buy it. And the same thing for an NFT. If you have a card game and the cards in the game have a value, it has value. So essentially, they're both, it's one guy saying a digital product with no tangible digital ownership is not as valuable as the alternative. And it's just very hard to understand, you know, and it's very interesting to see an old money opinion on that. And we don't know the right answer. They could be completely valueless or completely valuable. Only time will tell. But that's his opinion on it. And I, to a degree, agree with him and also disagree. And finally, Bunnings, Kmart, and the Good Guys are using facial recognition technology to crack down on theft. But this technology that they're using is actually inside a store. So they've been this particular company has been using facial recognition technology in a bid to crack down on theft in store, which was researched by Choice. And the consumer group said it asked 25 of Australia's largest retailers whether they were using facial recognition technology and examined their privacy policies. Based on that investigation, it said that three appeared to be the only retailers among the group that were using the technology. And the facial recognition technology captures images of people's faces from video cameras, such as CCTV footage, as a unique face print that is then stored, can be compared to other face prints. Also, once your face print is identified, you can be tracked around the entire store. So the privacy policy for the Good Guys says the camera may capture an image of someone's face to track the person through the store and he be retained to identify someone on future visits. The company says it's strictly for the purposes of security and theft prevention and managing and improving customer experience at our stores. And it's quite an interesting thing, because what is our right in that? You know, and that's what a lot of people are saying. This goes far beyond just a privacy policy on a website. You're using technology that is very, very new, you know, and many people have, it's very controversial technology. You're using very controversial technology and saying that if you want to read that our technology exists, you better see this A4 piece of paper outside our store, or you better see our 27-page document on our website right below the bottom of the website in the bottom right corner underneath the image, you know, in this hard-to-find place. This discrete signage and like discrete online privacy policies are believed to not be adequate enough to help someone understand that you're very much being tracked. You're not only being identified in the store, but you're assigned a face print, which allows other people to see that you were in that store, which isn't such a problem. They can see where you went around the store. Not such a problem, except when you enter in with your child and you don't want that child to be on social media, you don't want that child to have a face print outside of something you control. Mm. A lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
Like my brother, he doesn't, my oldest brother, he have a child. They don't want to put anything on social media until she's old enough to make a choice whether she wants to be on social
That's
media.
That's nice. I like you know? That.
And if you're walking your children into a store, they're there already. You've lost your whole fight, your whole bid to do this thing, and it's out of your control. So it is a very interesting, controversial topic. Is
unless
it
you put
right?
a mask on or something. Or
it will. It will. It, technology's clever, man. We
go right
places.
Through the mask.
Yeah, your eyes can tell you more about a person than their lips, you know, and the mask just covers that area.
Shoot.
So
yeah, that's a bit of a concern.
And phones and smartphones are coming out with technology to help you have a face ID, like you know when you unlock your phone with your face, but to be able to do that while you wear a mask, so they can do it with a mask on as well.
Okay.
Try. I don't know how well it works.
What a time to be alive, man!
What a time to be alive.
Nothing surprises me anymore. To be completely honest, when we come back, Kane and everybody, I'm sure you've seen Squid Game.
Yes.
On Netflix, the first one. There's a second season. It's been approved. It's been green lighted. Get it? Red light, green light. It's been green lighted by Netflix. So they said, yes, go ahead. Give us a second season. But now, at the same time, they're also looking for competitors for a real life Squid Game reality TV series with real people taking part in it.
Yeah.
So, and you can apply. You can be from anywhere in the world. You can apply for it. And you can be on Squid Game. You're on the reality show.
My application forms in. No, I'm joking.
But you know, I'm concerned. We'll look at the details now. But it looks, I mean, hopefully you won't die.
It's not a one-way ticket kind of game.
Yeah, right? Hopefully you won't die like all the characters in the show. Because, you know, that there was this one scene with them where they had to jump on glass. And then some of it was solid glass and some of it would break.
Yes.
And or a perspex and then solid glass or real glass. And then if you jumped on the actual glass, then you would fall right through. You would fall floors and floors down to your death. So hopefully, maybe they can play that game, but they must leave something.
It's like Fear Factor. Almost.
Yeah, they must leave something there.
That's
at the bottom for
be.
Us to
I'm,
fall on.
I'm pretty sure it won't be a one-way ticket.
Because we are. Why would you...
99 people dead, one winner.
Yeah.
You know, in latest.
Jeez,
you
man.
Know, Squid
okay,
Game,
but there is a very big cash prize. I'll tell you more now. Here's Marshmello with. I almost said Khaled. Khalid, sorry. It's Marshmello with Khalid and Numb. And now I have this terrible craving for marshmallows, thanks to that song. It's Tech Plus. We're about to wrap it up. And just before we do, we just spoke about the real-life Squid Game reality TV series. The streaming service Netflix says they're looking for 456 players to compete for a $4.56 million prize. That's 73 million rand.
Jeepers.
Here in South Africa. And English speakers from anywhere in the world are welcome to apply to be part of the show. Netflix assured... Oh, here we go. Netflix assured potential contenders they won't be killed if they fall. They will put stuff underneath for you to fall on. I still want to know how high am I falling, even if I fall on a mat or whatever you call that thing. One of those bouncy things. I still want to know. There's no guarantee.
That's a pretty big competition, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yes.
Maybe Netflix should worry about making new content first and giving away that amount of money.
Yes. I know so many people who cancelled, just like me, who cancelled their Netflix and swapped it for Disney Plus. I'm still thoroughly enjoying my Disney Plus. Every night I watch at least one or two things on it.
I'm starting to believe I have internet issues because I'm about to live up to my name and give Disney Plus a choke slam because it keeps flipping buffering.
Oh, I know that you're having some problems there. Have you tried setting the HD thing from full HD to, I don't know, something below that?
I've tried everything. I've tried everything. I even tried washing the quality. In the bath, but that stopped in it. Fixed it for 10 minutes and then it was broken.
Oh my god. That's not going to work. But yeah, they've got a nice offering there. They've got some nice stuff.
There's good
there.
Shows. You know what show I'm really enjoying? Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to lie, I'm not a massive Star Wars fan. I've watched the shows and once or twice was enough for me, but man, you know, that Obi-Wan show, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus is a real good show, man.
Do you want to watch Golden Girls with me?
I'll bring the popcorn.
I'll bring the cheesecake. I watch the Golden Girls. I like these classics, man, the classics. And then I'm also rewatching Desperate Housewives after all these years because that's such a good show.
So you sit down, turn the TV on, get your popcorn and cheesecake and dig in.
But the cheesecake's it's a Golden Girls thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
But anyway, it's nice. It's memorable TV. We have memories attached to it, just like you would have when you listen to an older song.
Yes.
From the early 2000s, 90s, or even 80s. Or
I think my favorite part about Disney Plus, especially being a South African, is the ability to stream like top quality Marvel movies.
Yep.
And things like that I just never was able to.
Because you don't get that on Netflix.
No, not on Netflix. No streaming mm-hmm. service. I don't know when I ever watched an Avengers or something like that on a streaming platform that worked, you know?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Mostly at the time, it's just, you know, you either watch it at the cinema or you get it on DVD. And it's really nice to have a streaming service where we can access this content we've never been able to access.
And it's 120 Rand a month.
Cheap.
Don't say that's expensive because that's 4 Rand a day.
Yeah, it's not bad.
What can you buy for 4 Rand a day?
I've paid more by mistake for accidentally signing up to those SMS game things, you know? Where it's like SMS 314,
no.
Whatever.
What game? Not recently.
No, but when I was younger.
Geez, no,
going
I don't know.
To the DSTV book.
And, I understand. And the okay. games. Now, I thought if it was recently, I would be very worried about you.
Cause those services were mad. Eh? They would charge you like 4 Rand a day to access ringtones. It was crazy.
Yeah. Or if you watched ETV late night, SMS Mandy.
Oh, what is that? Oh! So that stuff was scam. I don't know how. I never understood how people go getting airtime and turning it into money. Like, what's the point of having a lot of airtime? Like, what is its use case? But I'm sure they make money somehow.
But the problem was, you know, they wouldn't just charge you once. They will charge you every week or something. And then you say, hey, somebody's stealing my airtime. But you willingly signed up for that thing.
That's
that
how the whole privacy policy started and like stopped to stop.
We had to go through that, you see.
Yeah.
To get to where we are today.
Rules are drawn in blood, you know.
It really is. No, it really is.
Is that the end of the show?
Yes.
Excellent. What a week.
Yo. I think we covered a lot today, hey?
We did.
We covered everything, except for Cell C, by the way. If you're on Cell C, 5G, you could get 5G soon. And then also, Microsoft is looking at adding games to Teams. Now, I don't know why.
That's a bad idea. Well, it's probably a good idea, team collaboration,
but what if
team
somebody,
building.
What if somebody plays games while you are busy with a business meeting?
Oh, they'll make sure that's tracked. That report's going straight to your employer, I promise you.
Yes, and then, you know, it's been a bad week for Bitcoin. There was a Bitcoin collapse. Can you just tell us quickly in a nutshell, has it recovered?
No, not at this current time.
Okay.
We're in a bear market for a little bit.
Okay. Is that a normal thing to happen?
Yeah, every year or so we go through these trends. This is a big one. It could reshape itself in 2 to 3 months, or it could channel for the next year. Like, that's the honest reality of it. So until we bottom out and it starts turning around, which it always does, we're going to have to wait it out.
And then lastly, I see that cell phone stores will be disappearing from malls. More and more of them are closing down because they're just not feasible. They're just not profitable.
Oh, the stores where you get like the phone covers. And
yes. I mean, let's be honest, when last did you go and visit one of those stores?
I actually bought a video light from there the other day, but okay, I hadn't used a shop like that in like four years.
Yeah,
so I can imagine.
Or like people going in and saying there's something wrong with my phone, you know.
I went in a few times, like I had something wrong with my phone, and then they fixed it, and I had a different back piece on my phone. Like my Wi-Fi, there's no more Wi-Fi on my phone and things like that. That happened a few times.
Okay. Well, I wonder how will we get help? Or maybe there will just be one, but, you know, it won't be in the town where you are. You'll have to go to the nearest city or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Like that makes Apple sense has financially. Support places and things like that. You can send your phone off to Pretoria and it's going to get checked.
But they're cutting. Everybody's cutting right now.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder, recession time.
Ah, no, this is not a load shedding thing, you know. Don't speak of it.
Hey, we haven't had load shedding, eh?
No, but you're gonna have tomorrow now because of that one thing you just said.
And the recession.
Yeah, you've set us up nicely for the next week.
Jeez, I'm sorry, guys. But anyway, that's it. What a great show today. We covered everything. You name it. I'm impressed, Kane. Well done.
Fantastic. And another great week. And we'll be here next week doing the same thing. Same time.
Exactly. Because we like to do it, even on public holidays.
Exactly.
We're playing out with George Ezra. He's got a new song called Dance All Over Me. Nice one.
Nice.
That's how we're going out today. Thanks, Kane. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks for everyone listening. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.